Tell me, how did this year's go in terms of participation for people and challenging snow conditions and all that good stuff?
But it really turned out better than I thought it might. I'd say our overall bird numbers were a little lower, but the number of species we got was pretty good. You know, quite a few folks got out and braved the weather, and then a lot of other people watched from their bird feeders or did little routes around town, hitting some spots, to kind of double-checking, looking for some of the birds that we might have missed as the targeted groups went around on their routes.
And does it change dramatically with the migratory patterns and how cold it is, or, you know, how advanced the season is or not? Or is that pretty...
Well, definitely weather does affect things.
Yeah.
I would say the seabirds, you know, the pelagic birds around us probably are not affected a whole lot by the colder temperatures. Now you start getting more into the waterfowl, you know, and even some of the songbirds, I think more of them are affected by the cold temperatures and decide to go somewhere else.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What did you see any unusual species this year?
We had a couple of really unusual ones, which one was the Harris's sparrow, and Butch Young had found that at his feeder. I'm aware of a sighting here in 2007, I believe it was, and then one in 1997.
Generally, what does that look like? Mid-sized songbird or something like brown in color? Or
Yeah, the Harris's sparrow. It's a sparrow, has a sparrow, kind of a seed eater's beak, kind of a heavy with a pointy tip. And then the adult has a black bib on front, not just a spot like some of the song sparrow, or the song sparrow does and fox sparrow. And then you have some brown on the side of the head and then kind of typical feathers on the back of it for a sparrow.
Okay. All right. Are there other unusuals this year?
Well, we found a fox sparrow and at the Flint's feeder, and we do get fox sparrows here, but not in very high numbers, whereas Ketchikan, they get quite a few. They average seeing 13 fox sparrows. This year, I think they had 21 for the Christmas bird count, but we often get zero.
Okay.
And that's a trend I'm interested in. It's whether it's increasing as the winters get warmer. You know, we're not seeing that this winter, but the trend is that way, if they're kind of generally moving further north in the winters. But the fox sparrow that we had this year was a subspecies, which there's multiple subspecies for fox sparrow. And the typical one we have here, it's a more of a kind of a sooty head, and then melds into kind of a brownish back and a little bit of rufous towards the tail. And then the spots on their breast are in the shape of more like a chevron, versus the song sparrows that we get are more of a streaky spots on the breast. And the fox sparrows are slightly larger than the song sparrow.
Fox sparrow, yeah, does it look dramatically different from others?
Yeah, the red fox sparrow we have, it has, as you might expect, has quite a bit of rufous in it, especially its rump is kind of a reddish rufous color. And then the side of its head, it has some reddish in it. And then it has if you're comparing it to a song sparrow, which a lot of times people confuse the fox and the song. But the song just has kind of a gray bill. And the fox sparrow, especially this time of year, can have a bicolored bill. And the one we have here now is pretty brightly, kind of a yellowish, little bit of pink, mostly yellow color in it. More on the top of it's a little bit gray, so that's why I say bicolored, the top mandible, but then the bottom's really a bright yellow.
For hummingbirds, did you see, have reports of Anna's hummingbirds here locally?
For Christmas count this year, on the hummingbird, we saw one, and that was at Butch's feeder, and I believe it, the same bird goes over to Ray Peterson's. But there were two at some other feeders earlier, so we know of at least three in town. Ketchikan, they really strove to get a solid count on their Annas this year, and they had a total of 21. So that's a new record for the state. In general, the Anna's hummingbird population's been increasing during the wintertime for the state of Alaska. The Anna's hummingbird's one of those interesting ones to be studying and following the trends now. In general, for the past 20, 30 years, they've been expanding their range northward from California, actually even earlier than that, they've been expanding their range during the winter especially. And there's been some studies that have proven that the Anna's hummingbird is taking advantage of human occupations, whether it's from an agricultural standpoint or from gardening where there's more flowers flowering later in the year, or of course even like Seattle, some maybe in the winter, and then also because of all the feeders people are putting out. And it's an interesting relationship. Not only is the hummingbird changing its habits, but humans are changing their habits. As people find out, oh, there's Anna's hummingbirds in the winter, more people are putting out feeders, more birds are coming to those feeders, and you know, it's a cycle, it seems. People wonder about, well, a feeder in the wintertime, and of course in this weather it will freeze up, and there's several different options for how to provide the food for them, because it's especially critical first thing in the morning that they get something. You can rotate feeders. If you have like two feeders, you can move one into the house and warm it up and put the other one out, and then vice versa, rotate them in and out. Sometimes people bring them in at night and get it out very first thing in the morning before first light. You can also buy store-bought feeders that have a little light in them for, or a little heater in them to keep them thawed out. And you can make a homemade one. You can rig up with a little tin can underneath of it and a very low wattage incandescent bulb in there to keep it warm and hanging right below it.
How about species that make the overwinter here that are, you know, trumpeter swans and that kind of thing? Any of those come up in the count this year?
Yeah, trumpeter swan is another one that we try to follow trends on and have since the beginning. Of course, when the beginning of the Christmas bird count here, the nationwide trumpeter swans were not doing very well. Since then, nationwide, continent-wide, the trumpeter swan population has increased. It's a good success story. But interestingly, the number of wintering birds here, our trend has been for a decrease. And the reasoning for that, I don't know. But overall, I know their population's doing well. So this year, we only had four swans.
All right. Seen down in the Blind Slough area, I imagine, or...
Right. Of course, this year with all the ice, there was very limited open water for them to be on. And that's probably part of why the low count this year. Our 31-year average for trumpeter swans is a little over 23 birds per Christmas Day count. The past 5 years, it's been closer to 12, so about half. And then, like I said, this year it was four. But this year with these freezing temperatures, it's kind of an anomaly. So the long-tailed ducks, we had 2,844 counted this year, so a pretty good count on those. Our 31-year average is 1,400 and some. Our high count ever was 5,500, so 2,800 is a good number. Bald eagles this year, we had 35, and interestingly to me, the bald eagle numbers have been pretty static. You know, the 31-year average is 38 birds. The 5-year average is 32. This year we had 35. Seems pretty consistent.
Okay. Herons pretty static too, or yeah?
They seem to be. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This year the great blue herons we had six. Probably a little more unusual. Some years we get varied thrush. It's one of those ones that many years it's zero or one. But then a lot of people in town probably remember in 2019, just a couple of years ago, there were varied thrush all over town in the winter. We had 44 in 2019, and this year we had one.
Do you keep track of invasives, like the pigeon or anything else?
We do, yeah. We try to keep track of the main invasive species we have, the non-natives, which include the European starling, the Eurasian collared dove, you know, and the pigeons or the rock doves. This year we had 49 starlings, and we had 43 pigeons and 15 Eurasian collared doves.
Are there tips? It sounds like you're using the app pretty widely and doing some work to make that more usable. You were talking a little bit about that, the eBird.
The eBird, eBird's a citizen science database, and there's several people in town that are putting information into there just to help long-term have an understanding of what species we have around town so that, you know, years from now and even currently, people can look at that for information or check on trends and see what changes have happened.